Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is leading cross-cultural teams. Perry, I know you've done a lot of work in this area. What's the lesson for a leader in this topic today?
Wow, it's just becoming more and more obvious. I wish I'd have known this so many years ago. Yeah. But we really live in a cross-cultural, multicultural world. It's easier now to travel, to migrate, to go live in another part of the world. And America especially is a great place for people to want to come. And many companies have globalized. It's very common now to have multiple national cultures represented on your team. And what I'm learning, I guess we've always known, but I didn't pay attention to it. The followers want to be led the way they want to be led. And a lot of their expectations about what leadership look like come from.
That's right.
What's their national identity? And then I think as leaders, I rarely thought about how someone from a different cultural background than my own would want to be led.
You know, this goes back to some things that we've talked about, Perry, is that it's so natural for us as leaders to lead people the way that we want to be led.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that if you want to make great strides as a leader, I think you hit it on the head, right? Like, how do we begin to identify ways that we can lead everybody differently? And in the past, we've talked about it from a personality standpoint. Today, obviously, we're going to talk about it from a culture standpoint. I saw a survey recently that said 90% of the C-level executives identified cross-cultural leadership as one of their top management challenges. Mm-hmm. And as you had mentioned just a minute ago, you've been all over the world, and I know you've done a ton of speaking and teaching in many, many different countries. Have you found this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. That it really opened my eyes, speaking in different countries and getting to know different cultural orientations, that what it takes to develop influence and really to be effective in cultures different from my own is you can lose influence in a quick hurry based on somebody else's view of you. Most of us in the United States, I know we grew up with a monocultural world. The United States, while we do have different ethnic cultures within the national culture of America, in the European cultures, these are lots of countries. They're not the United States of Europe. They are different countries, different cultures, different come-froms. As the world is really flattened and businesses are really more global, it's very common to either have people from different national cultures on your team, that you interface with teams from other countries, and all these I'm trying to influence, and I'm trying to influence them from my monocultural comfort.
That's right.
I got to pay attention to some of their background.
And not only is this an important conversation and topic about your team members, but I'd also challenge you with the mindset of a lot of us may not have different cultures on our team, but I promise you we do when it comes to our clients or partners, as we call them, with the John Maxwell Company, or even our vendors.
Right.
So much of a lot of people, the vendors are from different cultures. And I think that is extremely, we need to have a heightened sense of awareness around that. So you said national cultures. Are there other cultures than that?
Thanks.
And I think I know the answer to this, but
well, it's interesting. There are many levels of culture, and it's interesting that you bring it up because it's so easy to see, or even in an accent or in a physical look, of see somebody's nationality. Not always, but you can often see national cultures. It's the most noticeable. But within our national culture, there are going to be ethnic cultures, racial cultures, religious cultures, political cultures, generational cultures. We just spoke about that on a recent podcast. Gender cultures. So this complex makeup of every individual, you think that really what makes us unique is that cultural makeup that comes in there. And so for a leader, for me, I just look at everybody the same. That's a dangerous place to be as a leader. You have to really meet people where they are.
We've said this before, but leadership is hard, right? And now you're bringing something to us that I think it's making it even harder. So I appreciate that, Barry. But as leaders, we need to be aware of that. And that's just what an individual brings to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, so yeah. Now you have me thinking, now we could tag on to that organizational culture. And that plays a huge role, whether it's from a functional culture with inside organizations. You can even break it down into the different functions, as mentioned, sales and marketing, and finance, and all these different cultures that I think we need to be aware of. And just reemphasize the fact that I just said that leadership is hard. But, you know, this is really from a five levels, I'm tying this back to the five levels. This is really a challenge for us as leaders at level two, you know, around the relationships, in order to get our team to a level three. Remember, you cannot skip level two. It is the foundation to all sustainability inside your team, and you need to be aware of that. And in order for the team to produce results together and to build momentum, you have to start at level two to get to level three. So here's a question for you. With your experience, how would you coach a leader to address these cross-cultural challenges? And just, I mean, at its simplest form, we could talk about this for a long time, but at its simplest form, how would you coach somebody in that?
Yeah, I hope that this podcast will be a starting point, is that just becoming aware, take a step back and look at your team, look at your clients, look at your partners, and just become aware of what's going on there culturally. Also, self-awareness, I think, self-awareness would be about how I, what's my come from, what are my identities, and how I like to be led, things like that. And then that others' awareness becomes so rich to me, is that just stop thinking everybody's like me, because they're not.
Yeah.
You probably say thankfully. but this really opens the door to develop what's now being called CQ, your cultural intelligence, and that you can actually develop that over time and with awareness and a motivation to want to be a stronger leader and to lead all people the way they want to be led. And that really comes down to dignity and respect for where they come from. You can really raise your level of cultural intelligence.
Okay, so I heard you say CQ, right? So we talk a lot about the IQ and the EQ part of leadership. And now, for me, you're introducing CQ. So what's an example of having CQ?
Yeah, cultural intelligence is key for a leader on how you communicate with people in your circle of influence. So we were mentioning, we always talk about 360-degree leadership, up, down, and sideways in the organization. There's a number of cultural dimensions. If you started looking into cultural intelligence and cultural orientations, there's a number of dimensions that can be referenced. We don't have nearly the time here to address that. But one cultural dimension that can affect a leader's influence is your interaction style. Mm-hmm. How do you interact with others? So if you're from North America, like I am, you're most likely to be somewhat on the direct side of that. We say what we think. We're pretty dogmatic about things sometimes. We just say it. We don't avoid conflict. Generally, if for most part, it's a cultural norm that we're pretty direct. But if you're from a Latin America, and actually most of the rest of the world, have a very indirect communication style. They don't embrace conflict. Direct, more straightforward, handles conflict straight on. Emphasis is on my words. But if I'm from another culture outside of North America, I might be more indirect, more subtle, more subdued when handling conflict. The American might be perceived as being blunt or rude by the rest of the world. The Latin America, really its emphasis is on tone and context, not so much words. They could be perceived as being unclear. We just say, why don't you just say what you're thinking?
Right.
And they say, why do you keep saying what you're thinking? And it can be a real miss there. In many European cultures, confrontation is a good thing. In most Asian cultures, confrontation is to be avoided. It's called saving face. You would never want to confront someone because you might take some from them. You don't want to do that. So you just be quiet. And I'm thinking, why are the Asian people on my team not telling me what I'm asking, because they're actually being true to their cultural come from, and I'm not really respecting that.
Man, as you go through that and you kind of share that with us, a couple of things came to mind. It is so important as leaders to make sure that we keep an open mind, right? Because we talk a lot about in some of our coaching and our on-site training with people, when there is similarity in a person, specifically today, culture, I think that there's an immediate connection, but over time, because there's similarity, we'll probably have tension. And we got to work through that. And intention's good. It needs to happen, and you can do that. When there's difference in the today culture, I think your natural reaction is to disconnect, right? As a leader, you immediately disconnect from them. And so I think it's key that we keep an open mind. I think it's key in understanding and kind of adapting to this that we have active listening skills, all right, on heightened awareness. A lot of us don't listen well anyways. And then really watch, one of the things you said that kind of stuck out, really watch your nonverbal communication.
Boy, it's big.
As you're, especially when you're going cross-culture, or as you have taught me today, CQ, okay? What we talk about in leadership, you know, we're talking about at level three and level two, we talk about task-oriented versus relationship-oriented. Right. Could this be a cultural
absolutely
as well? Talk about that a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Well, a lot of the Anglo cultures, which would be United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, a lot of those cultures just really task-oriented. We just get right down to business. Many other cultures lean more toward relationships. So it could be the Latin cultures, Latin Europe, Latin America. Middle Eastern culture is very relational on how they do things. So they want to get to know each other before getting down to business. So I've been in many meetings right before I'm giving a talk or doing a workshop in a culture where I'm waiting to when are we going to talk about the actual task that we're going to do, and they're spending all this time getting to know each other and having a coffee. Mm. I didn't realize how important that was to them building a trust relationship with me and being able to actually increase my influence and my ability to be more effective if I would just embrace what they're trying to teach me from their culture.
Sure.
Some cultures are about the individual. That's more of a U.S. We're in North America. We're about individual accomplishment. Many other cultures of the world are what we call collectivist, which is it's more about the group. Mm. It's more about everybody crossing the line, not just me crossing the line. Some are about being more formal. In more North America, be more formal culture, where many of the others are would be informal. Some about, boy, really about time. This one's kind of funny to me is the U.S. culture, we're very fixed or rigid. We go to a meeting, it starts on time, it has an agenda, it ends on time, while others would be more what we call fluid. It's they're not so punctual.
Yeah.
And we make fun of that. When I gave a speech in Mexico and 550 people, they said the speech starts at 8:30 a.m. I'm in the room at 7:30 a.m. making sure everything's working, everything's right at 8:30. I'm the only one with 550 empty chairs. I'm thinking, so I'm almost offended because you've disrespected me. And about, you know, 8:40-ish, they start wandering in, and 8:45, they're getting a coffee, and at 9 o'clock, they're starting to get a buzz in the room. And then I realize this is they're not disrespecting me. Yeah. They're actually living to their cultural norms, and I need to be a little more flexible. Yeah. It's really the word I get there, we'll talk about in a minute, being more adaptable. I think you already brought that up.
Yeah, that's the great word. You know, we talk about all of this driving employee engagement. I think the latest poll I saw from Gallup was that employee engagement's up to 32%, right? I think it went from 30% to 32%. And so you look at that and you say, man, we got 68% of improvement to go. And I think this is an area that would really help us, especially with the diversity of some of our organizations and clients or partners and or vendors. It brings me back to at the root of all of this for me, because I do have a natural level two bent, and I've been developed and trained by John for so many years. You know, John says that people are going to buy into you,
yes,
right, before they buy into the what or the vision or where we're going. And so it's so critical to your point. You mentioned about even just, hey, I need to slow down and have a cup of coffee with them before we go straight into what are we going to get done? Because you got to get them to buy into you. Now, this is, I think that principle alone, right, is something that could do all of us well and be a good service to us, no matter what the culture is, right? And make sure that they're buying into you before what you're asking them to do or what the agenda is for the meeting or keynote, whatever it might be. This is not a bunch of do's and don'ts that we're sharing with you today. Really, this is just an awareness thing that we wanted to bring to your attention. And you said it best, Perry, when you said, really, We got to figure out how do we adapt and really become self-aware of where we're at with the acknowledgement and the knowledge of different cultures.
Right. If my motive is that I really want to be gain influence with you, to increase my leadership, my reputation as a leader, I want to drive employee engagement, I want to engage you at the highest levels of productivity, then I need to find where you are. And for me to just to not be culturally responsible or even understand how can I adapt to you. One of the things we talk about a lot is style shift. You know, I have a style, you have a style, and whatever your culture will come from is develop your style.
That's right.
Can I shift my style to connect with you at a more robust level there? Now, a lot of questions we get, especially I guess from Americans mostly, is why should we always be adapting our style? Why do I have to change my style? I'm the leader. Why don't you adapt your style to me? And think, well, really? What are you trying to accomplish? What's your outcome you want here? Is that I could be a level one leader and just tell you to do it, or I could really want to connect with you and develop a relationship with you so I can produce results for you, that I can equip you and develop you to my next generation of leaders. And it really, to me, kind of sums it all up, is that there are certain things I may not shift on. I had a guy, we were out doing I forget what country we were in, but he wanted to go to a voodoo exhibition, and I said, I want to be supportive. I want to be a team player. But that goes against a core belief of mine, and I'm just going to have to not flex on that. So I excused myself politely, and he respected that. But, you know, with the speaking in Latin America, can I flex and do my speech at 9 instead of 8:30? Absolutely. It's a cultural norm for them. It's not a core belief to me. It's just when I wanted to start. So you kind of decide when can you adapt and when you stick with your core belief and when do you actually adapt to their belief and help drive that connection.
Well, I think we could unpack this for a long time.
It's a big subject.
And we could break down a lot of different cultures that you've kind of raised. But as we wrap up today, just giving everybody just kind of this introduction, what call to action would you have for them?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll probably bring back another podcast at a later time on bias, unconscious bias. It's a big talk in the leadership world today about how we're driven. A lot of our behaviors and the behaviors of our people are driven by biases that we have. It's not a bad thing. We all have them. But could I be that self-awareness? What are my cultural orientations and my bias? Second, that being others aware. Be intentional about the cultural makeup of the people on your team. It can be complex, but just the more you learn that relationship level too, the more you get to know them and what drives them, what motivates them, is such a key thing to knowing what makes people tick. Third, I would try to figure out where I can adapt my communication style for maximum effectiveness. And that's flexing when I need to flex. And one of the warnings I would give you is be careful not to stereotype. That's a real danger zone here that says, well, all French people are this way or all people from Mexico are that way. That's never true. And they so all Americans are this when they go to Europe. No, they're not. You may be stereotyped, but don't do that. Everybody's an individual and everybody is unique. And as part of your leadership job is to get to know your people so that you can engage them at the highest levels.
Yeah, if we will accept and understand the differences on our multicultural team, don't stereotype, but if we will understand the differences, then we can use that to enhance the way the team analyzes situations and makes decisions in order to be more productive for the organization. And I think that's our challenge, right? If we can accept and understand, we can use that collectively to be betterment for the organization. Well, great stuff, Perry. Thanks for bringing this topic to us. I can obviously tell you're very passionate about it. You're a lifelong avid learner, and this is what Perry's learning about right now, and he wanted to share that with you. Just a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the 5 levels of leadership, or perhaps bring Perry or myself out to do a 5 levels workshop for your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also leave a comment there or a question if you have one for us that we'll be able to answer in a future podcast. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.